Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. 5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. This is fun, man. I love when these conversations take hold. We've got Sam Jones joining us, assistant men's basketball coach for the Colorado State Rams. And, you know, you're just going to hang out with us for a while, man.
Why not? This is the most fun I had in a very long time. We were locked in the house for a year and a half. I mean,
and now you're locked in this tiny little room with me. it doesn't get much better than that.
It's a nice room, Brady. I like your digs.
This tiny little studio. It's great. But, yeah, it's just kind of fun picking your brain. I know we haven't even scratched the surface either as far as, you know, your experiences and what you're going to bring over. But we were talking off the air a little bit about this name, image, and likeness stuff in the NCAA. And as you said, spending time in the NBA over the last few years, all of this is new to us. But then here you come into this. A transfer portal is just this crazy thing. It's like the Wild Wild West now. Name, image, and likeness. You're talking about all these, maybe these conference realignments. College sports, I'll tell you what, if anything, it's very interesting at this point.
Very interesting, and it's upsetting a lot of people. A lot of people are excited. There's two sides of the fence with all this name, image, and likeness, and the transfer portal. We can do one of two things. We can be on the side where we're upset, or we can adjust and adapt.
And benefit from it if you can, on the transfer portal side.
Both sides, right? Yeah. Both sides. We have two guys. We have two transfers coming in this year, and I think those guys are going to really, really help us. But I think ultimately, our goal is always to recruit high school kids and develop them. That's what we've done traditionally. But we're going to take advantage of this transfer portal as much as we can whenever it's convenient for us.
I think that's a great thing. There's a good balance to have there. Because, yes, you want to have kids that are growing up through the program with you. But just like we see at the pro side, too, it's great to draft a guy and bring him up and he's your guy forever. But you also need those pieces that can help your program out. So, and I think so far so good, it seems like Colorado State's doing it the exact right way.
Well, you said pieces that can help your program. We're just not going to bring in guys just to bring in guys, right?
Big names, whatever.
Yeah, Nico's huge on character, huge on fit, right? So we just don't. He has a system. Obviously, his system works. Number one offense in the Mountain West last year.
Doing something right.
Doesn't look like it's going to change for next year. Hopefully, let's knock on some wood. But we bring in guys with great character, whether that be incoming freshman or sophomore, junior, senior transfer, grad transfer. So we just like to bring in high character people. And then very good players that can help our program.
Yeah, it's just interesting even for us to navigate through all this. We were talking a little bit, too, about Ellison Hubbard, defensive lineman for the Colorado State Rams. I mean, he's doing his own show now. He does it at 1 o'clock with me, but it kind of transforms into his show. It can be CSU stuff. It can be whatever. But here's a guy that wants to be on the radio. That's what he wants to do if he doesn't make it to the NFL, or even if he does after the fact. So he gets to continue to do football, continue to focus on his schooling. But he's also kind of putting together a plan for the future. And I think if you handle it all correctly, and again, there's going to be marketing agents, there's going to be student athletes, there's going to be situations that just are not handled correctly. But if you can do it the right way, it can be very beneficial.
And why wouldn't you be able to do that?
Yeah.
Right? He knows what he wants to do in the future. It's not hurting anyone, him getting that experience. And like you said, he's able to focus on the main thing, right? Make the main thing, and that's football. But at the same time, you have other interests. We're all not just one-track people, right? We don't just do one thing. We all have hobbies or passions on the side. And I'm glad that NIL is giving guy the chance to explore those things.
All right, hobbies, passions. What is it, just basketball all the time? I know the kiddos, obviously you're working with the kids, family man like yourself, but what are some of those, what else do you like to do? Or is it always basketball?
It's been basketball a lot. And I was talking to some of the coaches before. I was lucky enough to win a championship when I coached overseas, and I came to the conclusion that if you want to be at the very top of your profession, right, there's no balance, right? The best surgeons in the world aren't out doing something else when they're on call 24 hours a day.
Constantly reading, studying,
yeah,
and working.
Then you're getting called, you have to come in, and you know. But that being said, I have pulled back a little bit, and my hidden passion, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You sure?
I think so. Now I'm not as ready as I was.
I know you weren't. it's photography.
Are you okay?
One of my colleagues with the Cavs gave me my first camera, and I call it, when we go on all these road trips, we travel to every city in America, right? Orlando,
awesome.
Miami, yeah. New York, Golden State, wherever we're going. We have shoot around and we have game at night. In between those, the 4 hours between shoot around and game, I go on my mental health walk, and I take my camera, and I go out and take pictures of the city. And I'm going to try to do the same thing when I'm here at CSU. We go play San Diego State. We go play Wyoming. We go play Air Force. I'm going to try to go to all the cities and kind of walk around and take some pictures and capture the essence of the city, and then put a folder on my computer and always go back to it and say, I traveled to the city, and this is what the city meant to me. Man. So photography is my hidden passion.
I love it. I thought you were going to say, like, sword fighting or something just going to throw me off.
That might be next.
But that is awesome. I think that's fantastic,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Photography, I mean, again, what I can on my phone, and they're never very good. They're blurry half the time. Yeah. My wife's like, the people aren't even in the picture. What were you taking there?
I'm
like, I don't know. I pressed the thing and the thing, but...
That being said, my wife is a much better photographer than I am. It's just my hidden passion. we'll keep it hidden for a while.
But at least she can show you a few things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She can always help me. She helps me every day.
My wife...
She helped me get dressed today. No, I'm
hey, I'm not
she
that far
get
away. My wife, she was into photography too before she started her own business a few years ago, and it's been really great, but she loved taking pictures, and she thought, all right, I'm going to start a unique business. And it wasn't that unique, but it was pet photography.
Oh, wow.
Just taking pictures of people's pets.
There's probably a market for that.
It just turned out to be so much work, mm-hmm. And the pictures she did, they were great, and she was developing, but it kind of got to the point where it was time to try something new. But, yeah, she just really enjoyed it.
That's
really
awesome.
Fun.
I like that. Yeah. Maybe she can give me some tips, too.
Yeah, right? If you want to take pictures of pets, I mean, we could do that. So no pets? You don't have any?
No pets. Didn't grow up with them. My youngest, Donnie, my 10-year-old, he's been on us heavy to get a dog. We walk around our neighborhood, there's dogs.
Well, there's dogs everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's like there's not even people in that neighborhood.
We have a dog park. Have you seen the dog park?
Yep. I made a mistake there. Thought it was just a regular park.
You walked in there and hanging out.
Dogs everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why is this covered in poop? Every
exactly.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, dogs are a priority here, which I love. But my wife and I aren't quite ready for a dog. With my lifestyle, we're always traveling.
It's tough, man. Yeah.
It's like taking on another child.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. So I'm a farm kid, so we had dogs, but they were outside.
Right.
So you'd pet them and say hi, and then you'd go in the door inside, and you're like, I don't really care what happens to them while I'm inside this house.
Exactly.
We tried the dog thing. A while ago, we got a corgi, and I think he was like a mixture between Tasmanian devil and some kind of evil demonic creature.
Okay.
And it just didn't work for him. So we found a farm for him. They're like, oh my gosh, what did you know? We actually found a farm in California. Like, they had a vineyard and everything. They wanted
they took
him. Took him. He's the happiest dog. He's an outdoors dog. He needs to be an outdoors
there
dog.
There we go. There
so
we
with
go.
Us, it was like... It was like a child.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
I'm glad he found a nice home. What was his name?
Indy, because we were Indiana Jones fans, and we found a balance there.
See,
so
that's a great story, right?
You know,
there.
You come
Indy.
Up with,
I
and
it.
I want to use that name again, but is it going to be a bad? I don't know. So we might use it if we ever get a dog again.
I like it.
It would be something that we go with.
I like it.
Looking at this team, David Roddy, Isaiah Stevens. I mean, these guys, these are big time players. When you look at them from your experience, do you? Let's talk about David Roddy just for a second. Do you look at that guy and say that's a next level guy?
100%. What level that is, I don't know, but he can make money playing the game of basketball. Mm-hmm. I think, to be completely transparent, I think Roddy is a consistent jump shot away from being a fringe NBA player.
Wow.
I think David can get to that level, but he's so big and strong. So if you're faster than him, he'll just muscle you to the basket. If you're slower than him, he'll go by you because he's quick as well. He's very, very skilled. He looks like a football player.
Yeah.
He actually played football
right.
in high school, but his passion and his love was for the game of basketball. And he's putting the work in. And like I said, he's a consistent jump shot away from making it to the league. I actually worked with a guy, Lamar Stevens, who went to Penn State, and he was a two-way player with us in Cleveland, mixing time with the G League and with the NBA. And we worked really, really hard last year, and he turned that two-way contract into a four-year guaranteed NBA contract. And him and Roddy are similar players, the mid-range inside. Even Lamar doesn't have a consistent three-point shot yet, but he's still working on that. But I think Roddy is in that area right there where he can kind of squeeze and sneak his way in on a two-way contract or something, then maybe be a bona fide NBA player.
He's such a unique player. later, because I don't know if this is the right word, but deceptively fast sometimes, deceptively quick, because he's a brick. I mean, mm-hmm. he's so strong. Mm-hmm. And then you just see these quick moves that he puts. You're like, where did that come from?
You know, I have those same moments in practice. I'm like, he has that burst?
Yeah.
Wow. He has that. And if he could put that together for longer stretches, I mean, he's going to be a problem. He's already a problem in the Mountain West. I mean, he's first team all Mountain West. But if he can put that together consistently for longer stretches, I mean, dare I put that out in the universe, he might be fighting for a player of the year.
Wow.
In the Mountain West. But I wouldn't say that if he wasn't working. He's putting the work in. I see him working on a daily basis, and the sky's the limit for that kid.
Yeah, it's really cool to see a coaching staff with so many different areas that they can lend. And again, as we ran down all of your experience, I think it's just going to do nothing but fantastic things for these young student athletes. November 19th, the Paradise Jam, for not that far away, man. We're creeping up on that. And of course, a new tournament, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame Classic, too. Some big teams, some big names that you guys are going to be playing. It's going to be exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, we have, for sure, we have Alabama. Yeah. On the schedule. We have Mississippi State.
Yep.
We don't know exactly who we're going to face in the Paradise Jam, but you have Creighton, you have, you know, Colorado, Bradley, who's been good over there in the Midwest. So we have some good teams in all of those tournaments and non-conference games, and we're excited to put our skill level to the test, right? Our preparation to the test against teams like that, because if you want to, like you mentioned earlier, dream about getting to that big dance, you have to play those bigger teams and see where you stand.
Yeah, and you really get a chance to see that before you get into, you know, your conference play, too. I mean, that's what I think is beautiful about it, is win or lose, you're going to be battle-tested by the time you get into your conference season. So, I mean, there's so much you can take from that.
Absolutely. I mean, experience is everything, right? And those experiences that we're going to encounter in the Paradise Jam and all those non-conference, we have St. Mary's coming to Moby this year, and all those experiences are only going to help us late in the Mountain West when we're trying to fight for that Mountain West championship.
I know it's football mode here in August, but people are pumped and ready to see this basketball program, and there's just so much excitement that continues to build. And man, it's just an honor to get you in the studio, talk about it a little bit, talk about your life a little bit.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's going to be exciting, man.
Well, I appreciate you having me in, Brady. And if people are really pumped and excited about the basketball season, come fill up Moby Arena.
Fill it up.
One of the best arenas here in NoCo. I mean, we're going to be exciting to watch Isaiah Stevens, Isaiah Rivera, David Roddy, Adam Thistlewood. I mean, Sean Thompson. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Talon Jacobs, the transfer we talked about. We got some young freshmen coming in that are going to be exciting to watch. And then the style of play that Nico puts on the court night in and night out is just going to be exciting. Basketball.
I'm pumped, man. I'm ready. Hey, can we go shoot hoop sometime?
Let's do it. Hey, we have a court right by in the neighborhood.
I know.
Shoot me a text. It's been hot out.
Yeah, that's my first excuse. Hot. And then when you're like, hey, you ready to go? I'm like, now it's too cold. I mean, we found, yeah. You know, we got to find that.
Don't be afraid. We'll start off with a little pig, then we'll play some horse, and then we'll graduate to a one-on-one.
Do a layup drill or something?
No. We'll play a little one-on-one. I'll have someone film it, and then we'll put that on the show somehow. Yeah,
we could actually film that. That would be pretty sad and scary all at the same time. Man,
yeah, that would be fun.
It's an honor to get you in here. A great guy. And my kid knew it before I did, my friend. He was so pumped to meet your entire family. Let's catch up. Borrow some sugar sometime.
I will. I'm coming by.
All right.
By.
I don't even know if we have. I'm texting the link. I'm not sure.
You're hilarious.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brady.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. We're going to get into some football talk. I won't put Sam through that. We'll talk about, hey, the Power to Play Sports poll question. How many sacks will Von Miller have this season? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. All right, 19 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. That was awesome. Sam Jones, assistant basketball coach for the Colorado State Rams. We'll be right back.
It's Valley Vikings Day and 13 days, 13 teams, presented by All In Cattle Company. Coverage begins at 5 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
So 24 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. That was awesome. How about Sam Jones? That was fantastic. CSU men's assistant basketball coach. They have a lot of great assistant coaches there. We had Ali Farokmanesh on like a month ago, right? And he was great to talk to. But Sam's like, dude, I'm coming down there. I want to check Greeley out. I want to get to know it. I want to immerse myself in the Northern Colorado community. And it's cool. And that's when you know. I mean, that's when you know coaches are dedicated to what they're doing. They're not just here to be a coach. Because to be a college coach, to be an assistant college coach, you do have to immerse yourself in the community. So really cool from him. I'm pumped for basketball season. We got some big news about David Roddy and basketball in the near future that we're going to get out there as well. But big things, man. Big things. It was fun. Get out to UNC football practice today. We're talking CSU men's basketball. We're talking Broncos. I mean, there's no show in the state, Colfax, that talks the wide array of sports that we talk about here. And I think it's, and you know why? It's because it's easy. Because there's a lot of great programs, exciting programs in the area that we certainly want to get behind. Power to Play Sports poll question. Eastside Chris says, Brady, how many sacks will Von Miller have? You just opened up the door for Chief Dixon. Shame. Did you give me a number, by the way?
No, I did not. I was going to go with my 5 to 10.
Oh,
was my original.
Ooh. So you're kind of in the majority there.
I was going to change it if he had 11 2 years ago, like I thought he did.
Yeah.
And it turned out that wasn't the case, so I went back to 5 to 10.
I mean, according to Vaughn, this is the best team that he's ever been a part of.
No.
But he said that last year, and then I think he said that the year before.
Is he the best him that he's ever been a part of?
I don't know. That's the question.
That's the question.
The other question is, how much of a decoy is he for Bradley Chubb? Is he a guy that's just going to get double teams and all that? I mean, that's going to be interesting. And I'm excited to see, hopefully, knock on wood here, that you got two guys that can really stay healthy and can just be solid. That's what we thought this was going to be. Bradley Chubb's rookie year, we thought, all right, here we go. We're going to get this all together, and these two guys are just going to be sensational. But we just really haven't, that hasn't taken hold just yet. And I know, you guys give me crap, and you think I'm selling a homer on this with Vaughn, but I still think he's got it. And that's based on nothing. That's based on stories that I've read. That's not based on me. I do not get down to Broncos camp. It's way too far, Colfax. It takes way too long. I get lost way too much. They don't trust me in Denver. I don't trust myself in Denver. Barely trust myself in Boulder. Got lost there. Barely trust myself at Shields. Got lost there. How do you get lost outside of Shields?
Well, it's more like you were just turned around inside the building, which is kind of easy.
Even though when you enter one side of Shields, There's a fish aquarium, and then the other side There's not. I just assumed maybe they took the fish aquarium away for cleaning.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there was something here. Don't know what it was. See ya. And then I walk out the door, and I'm like, this isn't where I parked my car. That was fun. It was hot that day, too. And you know I don't do well in the sun.
Nope.
So that was a bummer. But, you know, I just get this feeling with this defense that we're about to see something special. In fact, the poll question I think we're going to do tomorrow is something like, what's more likely? This team is top five in sacks, top five in interceptions, top five in basically yardage, meaning they don't allow much yards, top five in total points allowed, or on the offensive side, top five in rushing yards, top five in receiving yards. It's definitely going to be a defensive thing. You know, they're going to be a good defense. I'm very curious to see how Patrick Surtain really does stack up with everyone. If he really is as good as we think he is and what he's shown in camp and what he showed us just in a brief stint on Saturday, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. I do think that maybe this is the year. I'm getting the feeling, Colfax, that this is the year, playoffs or not, that the Broncos get to turn this thing around. And you got to, because you're getting ready to have a new owner. And that new owner could very well say, I want my own guys. I want to go out and get my own GM. Unlikely. George Payton was the hot name on the market, and I think anybody that's a football guy would have wanted George Payton. But Vic Fangio has a lot to prove this year. And I'll tell you what, Colfax, I got a blog that I'm working on. We got to take a break, but I'm working on this. My next bit is if Vic Fangio, and if this is 50-50, if Teddy comes out pretty good, Drew comes out pretty good on Saturday, and then we go with Teddy, Vic Fangio should be fired. We'll talk about that later. 29 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. We'll talk to Mike Brohard with CSU Rams Wire, get his thoughts on the scrimmage that was on Saturday for the football side of things for Colorado State. Don't go anywhere. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
33 minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We kind of had a CSU day today a little bit with Sam Jones earlier in studio. Great conversation with him. Jumping over to the man, the myth, the legend, Mike Brohard, CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. Mike, my friend, good to get you back on the show. Hopefully something we can continue to do throughout the football season.
Yeah, that would be great. And let's just correct some things right off the bat. And let's just stick with the myth.
We'll stick with what? Sorry, Mike, couldn't hear you there.
We'll stick with myth.
Okay, yes. Hey, you know what? I like that as well. I just talked about it earlier. I'm a big myth guy anyway, so I'm a fan. Mike, my friend, you got the Rams football side of things had a scrimmage on Saturday, and I wanted to kind of bust into this. We had a chance to talk to Ellison a little bit about it, Ellison Hubbard, yesterday, and he was kind of the mindset the offense – maybe perhaps took the day when a lot of we've been building up talking about how great this defense is. What were your thoughts there, offense versus defense?
Well, they went with more passing, and that's what they're trying to do in camp because they're really trying to get more accurate passing attack to go with the physical run game that they're going to create. So most of the running was done in the thud period. So to Ellison and his mates' defense, they didn't really get a chance to show what they would stopping the run because they weren't allowed to tackle and take the ground. Now, when they did throw, there were some good things that came out of it, and Todd Santeo, he looked good. He was accurate in that scrimmage, and that was a positive sign. The other positive sign was with Dante Wright watching from the sidelines, Ty McCullough, who has a lot of potential, he stepped forward into that void and made a lot of really good plays. It wasn't just him beating defenders. He made some tough catches. He made catches in traffic. He moved well with the ball after the catch. Those were things that they really want to see out of him.
Yeah, talking about, and I know the quarterback conversation, Mike, has been an absolute big one. Rams really curious to see what Toddy's all about. You know, last year was, as we've talked about a million times, Mike, it's so hard. You know, even if it was a great season, you still take it with a grain of salt. If it was a bad season, you say, how much can you take from it? It was one of those interesting ones for Toddy. There's no way we got enough information about this quarterback. But from what you're telling us and what we're seeing so far, it sounds like Rams fans should be kind of excited.
Yeah, here's the interesting thing, and the thing that you would like them to say I like about Todd. He understands why people are saying the things they are about him because they saw him make one start and a couple of relief appearances, and both of those were when he was injured. And he did not look like he threw the ball like a Garrett Grayson, like a Colin Hill, like a Nick Stevens, you know, people that were producing 3,000-yard seasons. That's what Ram fans had come to expect. Now, Ram fans also have to come to expect they're gonna look more for a power running attack that sets up a play action game. And John Budmeyer's brought in some wrinkles. He brought in some drop back elements that was new to what Adazu has done in his system, and they're working on those things. So, while Todd understands why people are grading him the way that they are, he doesn't really care because he feels like he's finally going to get the opportunity to show the type of quarterback he can be. He's also the first one to tell you he's got to be the one that goes out and proves it. You can't just take anybody's word for it. And, you know, you can't just say, hey, Todd, you're going to be better, and he says yes, and everybody believes him. He's actually got to go out there starting South Coast State and prove that he's a quarterback that can move this team through the air.
We're talking to Mike Brohard with CSURams.com and RamWire Insider about a little bit about the scrimmage, of course, on Saturday. But really, Mike, wanted to get your thoughts on the trenches. You know, so much we hear about Coach Addazio is, hey, this guy can coach a mean defensive line. This guy can coach a mean offensive line. And I personally love that style of football. I know Coach Bobo had some success, you know, throwing the ball a lot. But I'm really excited to see just how well this offensive line can be, D-line. But all that works out well. If the offensive line is cooking, then that, I mean, it just bodes extremely well for Todd Senteo.
Yeah, actually, as I'm sitting here at my desk, I'm copy editing a story that I've written on what I call the pleasure of the pressure of playing offensive line for Addazio. That's where he built his reputation. That's what he's going to expect is a physical dominant offensive front, and they didn't get that last year. Part of the reason was, you know, he's very particular in his coaching style, and so is his son Louis, who is the offensive line coach. I mean, he trained Louis, he trained Cody Booth. He's really an extension of that teaching as a tight end coach. So it takes some time, and the interesting thing to me is in talking to some of the offensive linemen for the story, it takes time and patience, and it takes practices put together. And if you go back to their first season, they had 7 spring practices. Fall preseason camp was hit and miss. The season practices were somewhat hit and miss. They didn't get a chance to put a brick on a brick at any point in time. Well, they did in the offseason. They did in spring camp. They did so far through preseason camp this year. So that's where they're all hinging, that you're going to see a vast improvement in the play of the offensive line, because all those details that the Addazios, you know, really push are really starting to become muscle memory. They're not having to think about it. It's part of what they do, it's how they do it, and the pace of how they want it done. So, yeah, I think there's reason to believe that with Steve Addazio as a head coach, the offensive line is always going to be an area of emphasis. Louis Addazio is going to teach it the way his dad wants it, and there should be an expectation that there will be improved play along that front.
Mike, you know this better than I do, but sometimes in press conferences, chatting with coaches, whatever, you read between the lines. I asked a question about the D-line to Coach last week, and he spent a little bit of time there, but he transitioned over to the offensive line, to the rushing attack. And so I take that as, wow, he is really, something's clicking there. He's seeing a run game here that he's really liking. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is fair to say, and I think it's also fair to say that he's even more excited because they bring in the addition of somebody like David Bailey, a back who was proven to him at Boston College, a guy who's had 100-yard games against big-time competition. He can move a pile, and that's also part of it. It's not just, you know, having the offensive line block well. It's having depth at running back. It's having David Bailey to go with a Marcus and Ajon Vivens, a Jalen Thomas, maybe even a Tanner Hollins. You're going to need numbers at the running back position throughout the season, and getting a proven back to put into that mix, yeah, that's going to make him a lot happier.
Yeah, talking to Mike Brohard, CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. Trey McBride, I mean, we all know it by now. We've all said it. Coach Addazio said, hey, this guy's the best tight end in the country. We've talked to guys like Scott Patchen, who just says, man, he reminds me of so many guys that, you know, I can name off that are in the NFL now. I mean, Mike, this guy is just, is he one of those once-in-a-lifetime type players? Is that what we're talking about when we're talking Trey McBride?
Wow, that's pretty high praise, and he does deserve it. Once in a lifetime, yeah. The fun thing to me is like, he still doesn't put himself all the time in the elite category. I mean, he still hangs out with and talks with Joel Dreesen, who is in his own right a really good tight end in history. Kelly McGregor, really good. People tend to forget Corey Sperry and all the touchdowns he scored. Even the 1 year that Crockett Gilmore played there.
Yeah.
But the one thing that Trey does, I think, better than all of them is play the position completely. He is a ferocious blocker. He is good after the catch. He runs his routes well. He has a passion for the game, and I think they all did. I especially remember Dreesen really playing with that kind of chip on his shoulder and just loved to play for Sonny Lubick. Those are the guys that you like, and that's why Trey is really the player he is. He's always trying to get better. As good as he is, and he deep down he knows he's good, and deep down he knows he could be in an NFL camp right now, but he's really happy where he's at, and he's really working on making himself a better player. He didn't get all conference because that's just, we played four games last year and other teams played more. But the tight end who was all conference has never blocked a soul in his life. Trey will. And this is what I would ask fans. It's fun to watch Trey, you know, hurdle an Arkansas defender and go for a touchdown. Okay? Those things are great. Watch him block. Watch him bury a guy in the ground and then have the referee come up and tap him on the shoulder and tell him, you're right there on the edge. You go any further than that, we might have to flag you. He takes great pride in that. He takes great pride, and he's earned that reputation, that he is a guy that he's going to be a big part of the run game just as much as the pass game.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so fun, you know, not just watching him, but talking to him. He says that. He's like, I like to block more. I mean, how many people, I mean, obviously offensive linemen, you get to that point, you're a monster of a man. You know, okay, that's going to be my job. I'm going to block. But when you're talented and you can do it all, isn't it rare, Mike? I mean, you've talked to a lot of players in your time. For a guy to say, hey, I know I can do it all, but man, blocking, that is my, that's my fun zone there. That's a great time.
Yeah, it is rare, and I think the one thing that people might have, well, they haven't been able to see it yet, obviously. The one thing that's going to make Trey better this year is the return of Cam Butler. Cam Butler has looked good in camp. Cam Butler is becoming a better blocker, but Cam Butler is also, he's a certified target in that offense. And if they go 12 personnel and they were to put both Trey and Cam on the line of scrimmage, both of them are threats to go out in the passing, you know, tree. Both of them are threats to just stay and run block. One can do one can do the other. It's going to create some defensive headaches for coordinators around the league if those two are both on the field and both have the ability to be complete tight ends.
You're getting me excited for the season. I know there's a lot. We still got a long way to go with as far as practices and stuff, but at the same time, it's right around the corner for that first game of the season against South Dakota State. Mike, so much happening in college sports. We talk about it on a daily basis, but of course, the conference, perhaps realignment, what we're going to see there. Coach Addazio spoke a little bit about that in his media day, just about, hey, you know, pay attention to it. We just know we got to put our best foot forward. So does that, in a sense, add a lot more pressure to this season, maybe more so than several seasons in the past?
No, because Colorado State is you're always in a constant state of trying to position yourself for when these things come up, you're in the conversation. And last time, obviously, Colorado State was in the conversation with the Big 12. When some other schools weren't, and it surprised them for different reasons. Men's basketball is going to play a huge role in that. Football is obviously going to play a huge role in that. The fans coming to the arenas and filling up the stands is going to be looked at rather heavily by whatever conference may be looking to add. As these things play out, I think it's going to get interesting because I think you have some fits that some people would look at and wonder, is there a better fit? So I think you got to watch where the dominoes fall. Does a West Virginia really belong in the Big 12, or does somebody further out east come and look for them, and that creates something else? Is the Big 10 going to go searching? What's the Pac-12 going to do? You do really want to find a geographic fit for what you're going to be and where you're going to go. I've heard some people, I've even talked to some Nebraska fans, they still don't feel like the Big Ten was a big geographic fit for them. Some of them would have preferred that they stayed in the Big 12 because they liked having those rivalries and they liked that tradition, and some of that is gone. So we'll see what happens, but there are going to be some other dominoes that fall. I mean, obviously the big thing that started it all again was Oklahoma, Texas. I was actually a little bit surprised because, you know, you go back to the WAC days and the 16-team conference, that wasn't a great model for showing if it could work, and I think it turned some people off onto whether or not they wanted to be that big. And the SEC is obviously making a ton of money. Oklahoma and Texas were probably really the only two teams that they would have added into their mix because they actually bring value to that conference. Now, if the SEC is going that big, what's everybody else going to do? Are they going to follow suit? Because, as we all know, college athletics is all about being the copycat. What works, everybody else is going to do. So we're going to see where this is all going to lead us. It's not going to be a quick road. Let's put it that way. This is going to take some time to kind of develop and see where other things fall into place.
Yeah, certainly going to be interesting to follow along. Mike, appreciate your insight, my friend, and hopefully we can do this throughout the season because there's going to be a lot to talk about, not just the X's and O's of football, but as you said, just the ongoing process in the world that is college sports. Appreciate you, my friend.
You bet. There's plenty going on, right? We got volleyball practice going on with a team that's trying to bounce back from a weird season. We've got a soccer coach led by, a new soccer coach leading that program. They play this week at Colorado. There's a lot of things. I mean, it's been kind of interesting, and it's been nice. So right now what we're seeing is a bunch of freshmen move in on campus. It's starting to look like a college campus again, and that's exciting. I think it's got everybody's energy kind of up.
Yeah, I think you're right. And even just seeing the pictures on social media, it's kind of that exciting time of year. Mike, again, appreciate you. We'll connect with you soon, my friend.
All right, take care. You guys have a great week.
All right, man, you too. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com, and RamsWire Insider. I think there's going to be pressure on CSU, but is it going to be this year? Is it going to be next year? I don't know. There's a lot of changes in the conference for sure. All right, 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the show, believe it or not, on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into the Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kevin Lytle, your Colorado State Athletics beat reporter for the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I hit it too fast. Who's winning today, Colfax? You get a pick.
Oh, no. I was looking at this.
Noob says, I like Vaughn becoming a new father. And he wants... Yeah, congratulations to Vaughn Miller, by the way. He's a new father. It's also Ed McCaffrey's birthday today. And I didn't even get to see him say happy birthday out there at practice. He said, look, I did this... The year you were born, I'm saying... he said, Vaughn could say this. I'm going to have 18 sacks the year my kid was born. Listen, I'm going high, man. I think he's going to have a huge year. I'm gonna say right there with you. I'm gonna go 19 and a half sacks. That's what I'm doing. Dixon says, wanted to vote in the Vaughn poll, but it's hard because instead of Tanner, it feels like the aliens took Vaughn in 2016 and haven't brought him back. If we get confirmation that he's no longer missing, I may vote. Yeah, you've made a reference to the show, and I can't read these other texts. Can't get to them fast enough. Does Dixon win the day?
Yeah,
he does. He wins the day.
You don't even get the winning music.
No, but that was good. The aliens did not take Tanner. They might have taken Vaughn. That's going to do it for us. My goodness, it's been a great show. Sam Jones, Mike Brohard, love it. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Good night, Northern Colorado. Watch out for aliens.